With families around the world on lockdown due to this pandemic, some family lawyers are anticipating a likely rise in divorce rates. And for more, we're joined on the KCBS Ring Central Newsline by Dr. Catherine Hertlein, professor in the Marriage and Family Therapy Program at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. So is this, doctor, just because we're going to be getting on everybody's nerves?
That is a very good question, and in part, the answer is a little bit of yes, but it's a lot of other things that go along, too. So what happens when people get into these lockdown situations, or you have these individual vulnerabilities that emerge, like grief at loss of certain things, being able to travel, being able to do what you normally did. You might have an increase in mood disorders like depression, because the types of strategies that we used before to manage those individually are not going to be able to be utilized anymore. And that's going to lead to some diminished sense of control. And a lot of times people try to balance that in relationships by changing the timing and the tempo and taking control in ways that they didn't used to. This also means that we have changes in terms of our roles in our relationships, right? So now that everybody's home, there's different roles in terms of what needs to be done in the house, what needs to be done in case you have kids. And couples often don't have those conversations before they get into these situations.
No, you bring up a good point. My wife is at home with the kids right now and helping them with their online schooling. I'm here long days. Come home from work, make a suggestion to tell the kids to do something that maybe wasn't on their schedule, and I feel like I upset the apple cart and everybody's routine, too.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if that's going to be more of a problem with people, as you just mentioned.
It absolutely will, because, again, these are things that we didn't expect, and one of the things that happens with couples are we often don't have time to talk about the things we don't expect, right? So everybody had to make the adjustments, had to make them quickly, with very little resources available to do that, and often didn't have conversations around it. You talked a little bit about your kids, and there is an imbalance in terms of who's taking care of the kids. There might be resentment that goes along with that. At the same time, couples who do really well are ones that are able to be flexible and supportive of one another in these times.
So what kind of coping skills or strategies do you think families can use to get through these periods together? Because it's one thing if it's just you and your significant other, but you add kids into the mix, and that's a whole different dynamic.
Yeah. So I think part of it is you have to increase support. We've got to recognize that the ways that we got support in the outside world with peer relationships, with maybe work, are not going to happen right now. So couples have to sort of turn to each other and be more supportive. The second thing that you have to do is find a way to identify where you can take control in your life, right? So in the day-to-day world, we have a lot of control over what we do. When you're in the house, that's going to feel really diminished. And the way that I've seen it play out with couples and families are people are taking control in ways that other people don't like, aren't anticipated, and maybe are maladaptive, right? So we have to think about what it is that we do have control over our space and remember that. A third thing, and I go off over this with my couples a lot, is the assumption of good intent. It tends to be a breakdown if you ascribe something happening in the family to some kind of ill intention. So for example, if you were to come home and say, hey, honey, I'd like the kids to do X, Y, and Z, and she thinks it's coming from a place of you trying to get control or you're not being supportive, that's not going to go over well. If she does, however, see that you're coming from a place of good intention, you're just unaware of the new tempo and the new roles that everybody's in, that's going to go over much better. When we start to make these ascriptions of ill intent, that's when things go haywire.
So it's better if I just keep my mouth shut for the foreseeable future,
well,
right?
I don't know about that. You'd have to ask your wife. But in general, just making sure that you're coming from a place of good intent and that you're looking at your partner and assuming good intent. If there isn't an assumption of good intent, nothing else can be worked out.
All right, doctor. This is some great stuff, too. I know we'll probably have you back to talk a little bit more about that. Dr. Catherine Hertlein, who is professor in the Marriage and Family Therapy Program at the University of Nevada in Las Vegas. And I think that's something a lot of couples are going through right now.